I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
It's good to be here this morning, amen. And we're continuing the message of greatness, amen. The message about greatness, because this is your year to be great. This is your year to be significant. Hallelujah. You will not walk through this life just come around, eat, drink, work some job, make some babies, and just die. There's no difference between you and a deer in the bush. Think about it. Just think about if that is what your life is about. Eat, drink, make some babies, grow old and die. Yeah? You might as well be a deer. Because we don't hear about anything. Would you hear any news from the bush? Some deer has made an invention, or a deer has started a church, or a deer has created something new. You don't hear anything about those things. They just move around in the bush until some lion eats them, and then they just die. But that will not be your destiny. Amen. God has purpose for you and has destined for you to be greater than that. Hallelujah. And that is your destiny, and that will be your story in the name of Jesus. Say amen if you believe it. Right. So today I am continuing to share with you about greatness. Last week we talked about the sources of blessing, isn't it? Is that what we did? The sources of blessings. Yeah. The things that bring blessings. And we said, number one is what? Salvation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because the reason why we're talking about blessing is that blessing is what makes people great. When someone is great, it is because they have a blessing on their lives. And I think we remember the scripture. God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He said, I will bless you and make your name great. Isn't it? Genesis chapter 12. Kawi, are you bringing it? I will bless you. He said, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. So it looks like the blessing is really what is controlling greatness, isn't it? The volume control of greatness is called blessing. Do you understand that? The knob that regulates blessing, greatness, is blessing. When blessing is turned down very low, greatness is very small. Do you get it? But when blessing begins to increase, you get it, then greatness, significance, visibility, they can't help but respond. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So you need to turn up the blessing volume and the blessing knob on your life so that your greatness can come through. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
God wants you to be great, and you shall be great. Hallelujah. Now, so what brings blessing? We said number one is what?
Salvation,
isn't it? Because the Bible says in Acts 3:26, it says, unto you first, God having raised up his son, Jesus, sent him to bless you. Amen. In turning everyone of you from his iniquities. So it's a blessing for God to turn you from your iniquities. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. It's a blessing because the wages of sin or iniquities is death. Do you remember we read the memory verse for last week? Do you remember it? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I record this. What does it say? I record this. I call heaven and earth, yeah, to record this day against you. I have set before you what? Life and death, isn't it? And then it's what? Blessing and cursing, isn't it? Right. So if he says, I set before you life and death, and the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So what it means is that death is caused by sin. And so in referring to life and death, there is an implication there that one of the options you have in life is sin, which brings death, which brings curses. Do you see? But righteousness brings life and brings blessing. And then it says, therefore, choose life, choose righteousness, choose blessing, that thou, both thou and thy seed may live. Amen. Amen. So to choose to be blessed or to choose blessing is actually a choice you're making for yourself and your seed, yourself and your children. Hallelujah. So we need to understand that sinful living actually leads to death and it brings curses. Sin brings curses. Hallelujah. It affects you more than you can feel. You know, and a lot of things like food, you know, when you're eating things that are hurting you, they don't feel that way as you're chewing it. I mean, when you've got some big ribs and you're chewing it, does it feel like your cholesterol is going up? When you have your barbecue ribs with the barbecue all over it and you are chewing it and it's, you know, sometimes even your nose, you know, the barbecue sauce is on your nose and you're... Does it feel like your arteries are about to burst? But that may be exactly what is happening. Do you see what I'm saying? So in the same way, the effect of sin on your life is not felt at the time you're sinning. Not even after. Because when you eat the barbecue and after, you rather think of when is the next opportunity. You see what I'm saying? And sometimes you even make provision for tomorrow. So you leave some, you cover it nicely. And say, this one is for more increasing of cholesterol tomorrow. This is tomorrow's portion. Hallelujah. Does it make sense to you? So sin kills and it cuts off your blessing. That's why it kills. It cuts you off from blessing and it cuts you off from life. Hallelujah. That is why salvation is the best thing that can happen to a person. Amen. The next source of blessing is what? Holy communion. Amen. We're going to have communion today also. Amen. Number three is what? Spiritual blessings, isn't it? Spiritual blessings come through Christ and they also make you great. And then number four is what? Obedience. Hallelujah. Number four is obedience. Hallelujah. All right. So now let's go on. Let's go on. I was going to share something with you, but I realized I have to share this one with you first. So let's go on. And if we have time, we'll go on to the next thing. Amen. All right. So how does blessing make you great? Exactly how does blessing make you great? Right? What is the effect of a blessing on your life such that it makes you great? Number one, A blessing makes you become a blessing to others. That's how you become great, isn't it? A blessing makes you become a blessing to others. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2 again. He says, "Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Hallelujah. Right? So he said, "I will make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." So blessings make you great. And they make you great because they make you capable of being a blessing to another person.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Greatness comes from being a blessing to people. The most significant people in life are people whose lives affect others. Just think of anybody you know that you consider great, and you will find out that what makes him great is the impact of his life on others. And how many people his life affects. Are you getting what I'm saying? So greatness comes from being a blessing to people. Amen.
Amen.
And this year you must be determined to be a blessing.
Amen.
Instead of being the receiver, decide to be the giver. Be the source of someone's receiving.
Amen.
Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
So that is the first way that blessing makes people great, which is that blessing makes you become a blessing to others. Everyone can be a blessing to others. Everyone can be a blessing to others. You don't have to have it all to be a blessing. Do you see what I'm saying? You don't have to have everything to be a blessing. You don't have to be a millionaire to be a blessing. You can be a blessing just as you are. Hallelujah. You can be a blessing just as you are. The top blessing you can bring to someone is salvation. Yes, because we just read that God blesses people when he brings salvation to them. So when salvation goes from you or through you to someone, that is a blessing. You have become a blessing already. Amen. So God wants to make you a blessing to others. Hallelujah. And when you become a blessing to others, you will become great. Say amen.
Amen.
Number two, how does a blessing make you great? Number two is because blessings make things multiply. Blessings make things multiply. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 16. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 16. It says, "And I said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hath not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Amen. So a blessing makes things multiply. Hallelujah. He said, "In blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee." Hallelujah. I will bless you and then the blessing will multiply the things that you have. Hallelujah. So when people are blessed, their possessions and the things that God brings to them begin to multiply. Hallelujah. This year, your possessions will multiply. This year, your finances will multiply. Do you believe it? Are you sure? Do you believe it? Are you sure? If I was a magician and I was standing here and I said that your money is about to multiply, would you believe it? Are you sure? Hallelujah. Listen, expect your finances to multiply as the blessing of God falls on it. Hallelujah. That is why it's not smart to keep your tithe. Do you understand? Because you miss a blessing which God said he will bring upon people who pay tithe. You miss a blessing. Hallelujah. So let that blessing rather come. It's better to part with the little that brings the blessing on the rest than to keep the little that keeps the blessing off the whole. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. God will bless you and he will cause your things to multiply. Amen. Number three, a blessing makes you fruitful. A blessing makes you fruitful. Okay? A blessing makes you fruitful. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 21. It says, then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. Hallelujah. So God says, I will put my blessing, isn't it? I will command my blessing on you and it shall bring forth fruit. You will be fruitful because you are blessed. When the blessing of God rests upon your life will be fruitful. Hallelujah. You're not going to go through life and look back with regret and start wondering what have you achieved and start wondering what has your life been about. Hallelujah. One of the causes of midlife crisis is a sense of fruitlessness. Do you see what I'm saying? Because suddenly you start to see that you have traveled far enough in life. And you begin to evaluate your life and you start to look at your life and begin to wonder, what have I achieved? And that is what tends to bring depression to people. And makes people sad and makes people begin to do weird things. Hallelujah. Amen. But as his blessing comes upon you, you will be delivered from fruitlessness. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You will be delivered from what? Fruitlessness. Your life will be a fruitful life that will bring blessing to people around you. Amen. Can I have an amen? So a blessing, it says, I will command my blessing upon you and it shall bring forth fruit. So his blessing upon you will bring forth fruit. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It will bring forth fruit in the name of Jesus. Say amen. Amen. Number four, a blessing causes you to possess lands and territories. A blessing causes you to possess lands and territories. Amen? Amen? A blessing will make you a property owner. If God blesses you, you can own a piece of the earth. Hallelujah. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's. So even for you to own a small piece of it, you know, just a square, whatever the size, that you can demarcate some part and put your name on it. Only a blessing from God will allow you to do that. Hallelujah. So expect to be blessed and expect the blessing to make you a property owner. I'm not talking about a property that is owned by the bank and you are paying for it. Do you see what I'm saying? But I'm talking about something that you really own. A little piece of something that is really yours. Do you believe it? I said, do you believe it? He said the blessing will make you own lands and territories. Hallelujah. Look at it. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 23. He said, and of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. Amen. He said, because you are full with the blessing of the Lord, possess the south. Hallelujah. So God is going to bless you to be able to be an owner of property. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? Yeah. Or is the culture of debt so ingrained in us that the only way, or even we see the word own. So you see some people sometimes say they own. Who owns this place? And it's very deceptive because you really don't own it. A lot of people who claim to own things, my car, my this, my that, they don't really own it. Is it possible that we all live in a society that has changed the meaning of a word? Do you understand? That what you really own is the debt on it, not the thing itself. Yeah. That is why they can come back for it. That is why the repo trucks. You know, they have a show on television. It's called Repo Wars or something like that. Hey! You should see that thing when the guys come to take people's cars. They fight them. Some pull out guns. You know? But the thing is not yours. You get it? What you really own is the debt on it, which you still have. Hallelujah. Everyone in debt in this service is being delivered from debt in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You will drive a car you own. And you will live in a house you own. By the grace of God. As His blessing multiplies on you. Do you believe these things? Yeah. You better believe them. Don't be so taken in by the culture that it begins to look like, you know, oh, this is the way to do it. And sometimes the culture imprisons you that you're not even allowed to think of any other way to do it. You're not even allowed to think of other possibilities at all. You're not allowed to think about other. That's what it means to be in prison. When you are in prison, you are confined. You are allowed to move from here to here to here to here. This is your space. That's what it means. But there's a world outside there. The world is bigger than this room, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, even this premises, the address, this place, whatever the address is bigger than this room.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are other things, there are other ways, other places to explore. But when you are in prison, you are only confined to this space and this is what you know. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? One day, I went to a car dealership. I was trying to buy a car. And then I sat there and the guy went through all the different things, you know. And as he went through very nice calculations, I mean, his very polite self, you know, made some very nice calculations and explained so many things to me. And when I looked at the whole situation, I said, this is a very bad man. So you're a very bad man. You know, you want to entice me and seduce me into this situation. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And I didn't. I didn't. And I'm glad I didn't. Amen. I'm glad. Because God made another way.
Wow.
You see, and I was able to have the car without owing anybody anything. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So God will give you a chance to have your car without owing anybody. Amen. Yeah, you'd be driving your car and you'd just be happy. If you want to move fast, you move fast. You want to slow down, you slow down. Yeah. You get it. You don't cry over the miles. You don't cry over, you know, who's scratching the car. You are just free. Look, it's a place you must be. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. God wants to take you out of that situation. It's not a good situation to be in. Hallelujah. To be constantly worried every month. You get it? And the month comes so quickly. How many realize that the month comes so quickly? Yeah. Even the other day, I was just looking in my, you know, because most of my bills come to my email. I thought I just paid one of these. It wasn't long ago that I paid a gas bill. Is it here again? Yeah. You see, and sometimes the bills look so similar. Because if the bills are created by your lifestyle and the lifestyle doesn't change, then the bills will tend to be similar. Yeah. So you look at the figure. This figure is familiar. You know. Yeah. The month comes so fast because of the bills and the bills and the bills. But you're being delivered from these things. And God is going to give you heavenly wisdom. Hallelujah. God is going to give you wisdom from above. It's not the world's wisdom. That means it's not the way the world does it. But God will show you a higher and better way. So that you will not be a slave. Only working to pay bills. To pay the bills of the things that take you to work to come and pay the bills of the things that take you to work to pay the bills of the car so you can go to work, so you can have money to pay for the car to take you to work. To have money to pay for the car so the car can take you to work and get the money to pay for the car so that you can have money to pay for the car to take you to work. And for the work to pay for the car so that the car can take you to work. So you can have more money for servicing the car and changing the tires so the car can continue to take you to work. So because you need that money to pay for the car and you need the car to pay, get the job and the job to keep the car and the car to keep the job. Be delivered in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, God is good. I'm telling you. The next one is a blessing. Causes you to have children. Wow. A blessing causes you to have what? Children. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 24. He says, and of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Wow. Let him be acceptable to his brethren and let him dip his foot in oil. Hallelujah. So God is going to bless you with children. Hallelujah. At the right time, God is going to bless you with children. Amen. God is going to bless you with children. Hallelujah. And not only biological children. You need to have more children than you can have biologically. Yes. Biological children are a type. That's why you call them biological children. Biological means how you got them. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, it's how you got them. But there are other ways to have children. Spiritual children. You can have an unlimited number of spiritual children. Biological children, you have 1, 2, 3, and they'll tell you, you know, you either listen to the doctor or you listen to your pocket, but one of them is going to speak to you. Yeah. Either your doctor will say, look, it's enough. Or your pocket will say, if you like, try it one more time. Hallelujah. But spiritual children are people that you bring up in the Lord. And you can have an unlimited number of spiritual children. Hallelujah. And if you have enough spiritual children, many times spiritual children can even be to you what your biological children cannot be. Yeah. Hallelujah. Sometimes biological children take things for granted. For granted. But spiritual children can be more appreciative. Do you see what I'm saying? So God will bless you to have spiritual children. Amen. People will be saved because of you. Amen. And people will be nurtured by you. Amen. Have some spiritual children too. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Don't just have biological children. Your mind is full of your biological children and the names you're going to give them, Cisco and Pancho, and then O'Neill and Dolores. And Zikwan. You have all these names arranged in your head. What about spiritual children? What about some people you can look at and point to and say, I brought this person to the Lord. And I helped this person to serve the Lord. And this one looks up to me. And I'm trying to be an example for this one to follow. What about that? Spiritual children. Hallelujah. It's a blessing to have spiritual children. He said, let Asher be blessed with children. Be blessed with children. Be blessed with children. Be blessed with children. Hallelujah. God will give you spiritual children also. Amen. Right. That was number what? Number five. Number six. A blessing causes you to be acceptable to your brethren. Right? Look at the same verse. It says, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Hallelujah. A blessing, when you are blessed, your brethren will accept you. Your brethren will love you. The brethren will be like, they want to be like you. You'll be the shining example in your family. You understand what I'm saying? You'll be an example in your family. Many people will want to be like you. Hallelujah. The other day I was thinking, you know, nearly all my siblings have a child named after me. Can you imagine that? It's a blessing. All of them. Just, I think all but one. I even had one. I have one who had only one child. And that one child is named after me. Yeah. Even though even they have a female and then the name, they say they call the name Joelle or something. Yes. It's a blessing. I said, and I'm not the firstborn, no. I'm not the first one, no. I'm like the middle kid right there. I have some before me, right, and I'm the right in the middle. And both the ones ahead of me and the ones behind me just naming their children after me is a blessing. No, I don't take it for granted at all. Why should you even want to name your child after your brother? I mean, what? And I haven't done anything for any of them but it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. May you have that kind of blessing. Yeah. Where your siblings want to go to church because you go to church. Yes. Nearly all my siblings are in the church. Yeah. The one person who is not in this church is a pastor in another church. You see? Yeah. And even he has tried to belong to our church many times. We've tried to advise him not to do that. You have to go be faithful to your pastor. You see what I'm saying? But yes, since I joined the church, my siblings started to join one after the other, one after the other, and they all came to the church. So it is a blessing. Hallelujah. May your brethren accept you. I said, may your brethren accept you. May you be an example in your family. Not the one nobody wants to be like. The source of headache in the family. All the bills in the family are caused by you. That is a curse. It's not a blessing. I met a brother one time. He said, look, his dad has bailed him so often from prison that his father, from trouble, yes, and paid so many legal fees and so much in legal fees. The father said to him, now I'm done with you. When I die, you don't get anything because your inheritance is the bail. All the bail money, all the attorney's fees, all the money I spent to get you out of jail, that is your inheritance. Yes. He needs a blessing now. But you see, thankfully, he's saved. So the first blessing has come. Do you understand? He's saved. Now that he's saved, God has transferred his destiny to Christ. His life no longer depends on what his father will do. His life depends on what God can do. So he can have hope. Do you understand? But yeah, he told me. He showed me all the tattoos on his body and all the... He said, look, I would... And the last fight he got in, he said, I beat a man. I almost killed him. He said, I took him, I hit him in the face, and I punched him in the face until some people came to remove me from the guy. And then they carried him to jail, and from there, he was deported out of the country into some South American country. And that's when his father told him, now you're finished. You're done. So you're finished. You will not be a troublemaker in the family. You will not be the bad example. You know, sometimes you see parents advising their children, don't be like your big brother. See, don't be like your big brother or don't be like your big sister. You know. But in your case, they're gonna say, do you see your brother? You see your brother, you be like him. You see your sister, be like him. You see that cousin, be like him. You will be the example. You will not be a byword and a proverb. You know, the people look at you and they advise their children. And they say, you see that person, when we go home, I'll tell you something about the person. Say, watch this guy closely. When we get home, remind me, I'm going to tell you something. So you have become the subject of counsel. No, that will not be your story. They will want to use you as a good example. You will be a good example of greatness. Say amen. Number 7. A blessing crowns you and establishes you as a king or a leader. Hallelujah. A blessing makes you a leader. Leadership is a blessing. Amen. Leadership is a blessing. Psalms 21 and verse 3 says, for thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou setteth a crown of pure gold on his head. Hallelujah. Yes, thou setteth a crown of pure gold on his head. It's a blessing to be a leader. Amen. When you're made a leader, when you're made a supervisor, when you're made the manager, you're made the director, it's a blessing. It is a blessing for people to look up to you. It's a blessing for people to follow you. It's not a bother. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. So receive leadership grace. Yes. Everyone is born to be a leader. Once you're planning to have children, it means there is some leadership within you. Do you see what I'm saying? Anybody who is planning to have children, and anyone who's having children, even if it's not planned. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a, what do you call it? It's a blessing of leadership that God has given you. Amen? Because you're going to lead them. You see them, they'll be following you. Yeah. They'll be following you. When you pass here, they'll follow you. When you pass here, they'll follow you. Because you're a leader. You see, some people are running away from the leadership, but it's not easy. You cannot escape. So why do you follow me everywhere? Because you brought me here. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Does it make sense? Yes. You will become a leader. If you work somewhere, don't be surprised if you're promoted. Because when the blessing is on you, it promotes you. It makes you a leader. Hallelujah. Have you heard the story of Joseph in the Bible? Joseph was sent as a slave into another country. And the Bible says when he got there, Potiphar could see. He could just see that there's something special about this person. And he put him in charge of his house. Because when there's a blessing on you, that blessing will make you a leader. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he put him in charge of his house. And that is the reason why when false accusations were brought against him, you know, that he had tried to seduce Potiphar's wife. They were serious charges because it's a leader who has done it. Do you understand? There are some things if common, ordinary, regular people do, they are still wrong. But it's not such a big deal. Do you see what I'm saying? Like the famous situation with Bill Clinton. Whatever Bill Clinton did is the commonest thing that people do. And even worse things. But it becomes a big story because he is the president. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So that is why that issue was such a big issue with Joseph. And yet, he was innocent. It still took him to jail. But you see, when the blessing is on you, that blessing, it causes you to float. Are you getting what I'm saying? It causes you to do what? To float. When someone is blessed, you can't keep them down. If you leave them, they just come up. It's like trying to bury a balloon underwater. As soon as you leave it, it just comes back up. Hallelujah. So even in the prison, the Bible says Joseph found favor with the guards. And right there in the prison also, the guard said, you are going to be the boss over all these prisoners. Yeah, even in the prison, he said, you're going to be the leader of the prisoners. Yeah, so even in a bad situation, it's like you get to be the best among the bad situation people. Hallelujah. You get to be the leader in that place. So it's a real blessing, and you're going to have it in the name of Jesus this year. Expect to be promoted this year. Expect your boss to call you and say, listen, I want to put you in charge of the rest of the team. I see that you're different. And I see that the way you go about things, I want to put you in charge. I want you to make the schedule for other people. Don't run away from responsibility at work. That's God trying to bless you. Amen. Yes, don't run away from responsibility. God is trying to bless you. God is trying to put some people under you. God is trying to give some people a chance to be led by you so that they can be blessed. Because remember, God said he will make you a blessing. Hallelujah. God will bless people through you. Say amen. Number what? 8. Number 8. A blessing prevents distraction. A blessing prevents distraction. People escape distraction because of a blessing. Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 8. Thus saith the Lord. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Thus saith the Lord. As the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. Do you see that? He said, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. Hallelujah. You know what? The symbol there is like something that someone is going to throw away. You know, and then someone who knows a bit more than the one who is trying to discard it says, don't throw it away. There is a blessing in it. And in this case, that blessing the person is referring to is the new wine. Do you see? So maybe some drinking person recognizes what is inside the thing and someone is trying to throw it away. He says, hey, 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 don't throw it away. My something is in it. Do you understand it? Well, the Bible says that in the same way, it says, this is what I'll do for my servant's sake. When people are going to destroy you, when it's time to throw you away, he says, I'm going to shout, destroy it not, because there's a blessing in it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a Amen. Yes. Amen. Sometimes they're packing things and they're trying to throw them away. And then somehow they just add your precious something and it's going away. One day I threw something away, and then later on I was looking for it, and I realized that I had left it in the packaging and had mistakenly carried the whole thing to the garbage. Then I remembered, destroy it not. There's a blessing in it. I went into the garbage, I tell you. And, you know, when I dropped it in the garbage can, it went right to the bottom. The garbage can was deep. I brought the whole thing down like that. And I went inside there. Destroy it not! There's a blessing in it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is what God is going to do. He says, this is what, so will I do. Do you see? He says, so will I do for my servant's sake. So perhaps you'll be in a car and an 18-wheeler is coming to crash the car, and the Lord will say, destroy it not. There's a blessing in it. There's a blessing in it. Destroy it not. There's a blessing in it. Perhaps they'll be throwing people out of the job and they start making the list. And they start calling out the names. And someone is going to throw it in your name. And the Lord will shout, destroy it not. There's a blessing in it. There's a blessing in it simply means something in it that is beneficial to others. Do you understand? There's something in it that is useful for others. Don't throw it away. That's why I went to dig the garbage for my thing. Yeah. I just left my room quietly, just came down, says walked through the garage to the back of the house, and I pulled that thing, bring it down. Destroy it not. There's a blessing in, you believe it or not, in this garbage can, there's a blessing. And I found it. Hallelujah. I'm just trying not to tell you what it is. But it was a blessing. Destroy it not. There's a blessing in it. Even when sickness attacks your body, you need the Lord to shout, destroy it not. There's a blessing in it. This person cannot die. This person cannot die. Destroy it not. There's a blessing here. There's a blessing in it. So don't spoil it. Isn't it a good verse? It says, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake. Hallelujah. So maybe the question here is whether you're a servant of the Lord. Because if you're not one of the servants of the Lord, well, I'm sorry, then you don't qualify for this. Because he said he will do it for the servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. Destroy it not. There is a blessing in it. Hallelujah. Destroy it not. You will not be destroyed. You cannot be destroyed because there is a blessing in you. You cannot be destroyed. That's why I want to be a blessing. Just being a blessing to people, you know, entitles you to God's protection. God said he will protect you because you are a source of blessing to people. Heavens. Wow. He said, don't destroy him because there's a blessing in it. There's a blessing in this body. There's a blessing in this life. Yeah. This is the person who does this for these people. This is the one who does that for that. This is the one through whom this is going to happen. This is the one who's going to bring about this. This is the one who's going to change this world. So don't destroy him. There's a blessing in it. Anytime there was a blessing in somebody, you see God, you read through the Bible, you see anytime there's a blessing in someone, God goes through pains to protect the person. Yes. The person cannot die. Do you get it? Yes. Moses, who became a famous deliverer of the people of Israel, he was born at a time when it had been declared that all male Israelites, babies, must die. Then the Lord shouted, destroy it not. There's a blessing in it. Yes. Immediately, some women, midwives, got an idea. And some of them decided to help to preserve and hide some of the male babies. Because the Lord has shouted, destroy it not. There is a blessing in it. They put Moses in a basket on a river. Somebody came to hide and to protect him. And he was not destroyed. You look through the Bible. Jesus was born. As soon as Jesus was born, Herod said they should kill every baby. 2 years and under, you must die. Because he thought that that's wide enough you'll be able to capture Jesus Christ, who was supposed to be a blessing. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And you hear story after story. Apostle Paul, shipwreck, stoning, so many different things that are happening to him. And yet he's not destroyed because there is a blessing in him. Hallelujah. So perhaps the key to preservation in your life is that you will be a blessing. Yeah. If you will be a blessing, you will not be destroyed. Look, there was a woman in the Bible called Dorcas. She even died. She was sick and she died. I tell you, people went to her funeral with gifts and clothes and stuff that she had made for them. And they were crying and displaying the clothes. Some had their t-shirts she had made for them, blouses she had made for them, different things. And they were all wearing them. They were saying, this lady cannot die. Yeah, it cannot die. Dorcas was raised from the dead. Because there's a blessing in it. Hallelujah. Some people die and it's like, ah. People make the sign of the cross before they start crying. They are glad you are dead. And so they make a sign of the cross. Then after that, but they are not crying. But that will not be your story. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Destroy it not. There is a blessing in it. There is a blessing in it. There is a blessing in it. Amen. Amen. Number nine. The blessing of the Lord will make you rich. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Do you see? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh what?
Rich.
So one of the things that a blessing will produce in your life is riches. Hallelujah. It takes blessings to be rich. At the base of all riches is a blessing. The blessing of the Lord. See, many people do things. For anything that has made anyone well, you find often that they are not the only person who does it. So for God to take yours and even make people like yours, and for yours to work, is a blessing of the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is a blessing of the Lord. He says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. It makes people rich. When people are blessed, one of the side effects is that they become rich. So perhaps instead of seeking riches, why don't you seek the blessing of the Lord? Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yes. The blessing of the Lord produces wealth for people. I believe there's a blessing of the Lord on this church that makes people rich.
Amen.
Oh yeah, I believe it. If you know the origins of our church, if you know where our church was founded, if you know where our church started, do you understand? And you see how far the church has gone and the places where the church has been able to penetrate. The church has started branches, different countries and so on. You should be convinced that there must be something on this church. And it's called a blessing. It's called what?
A blessing.
It's the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there's a blessing on this church.
Amen.
And may it come upon you.
Amen.
I said, may it come upon you.
Amen.
As you receive, you see, there are some people, they join the church, but you don't really buy into the teachings and the doctrine and therefore the grace that is upon the church. That is true. See, I've been a pastor for a long time, and I know I've had lots of church members. They are in the church all the time, but their heart, you see, they have not signed up onto the core beliefs of the church. And so the blessing that those beliefs bring does not come upon them, even though they are inside the church. Are you getting what I'm saying? But I just want you to believe it, that there must be a grace upon this church. Hallelujah. Sometimes when I think of the building projects that this church has, hundreds of building projects debt free, it's even scary. It's just scary. It's mind blowing. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, it's mind blowing for the church to be building all these things and does not owe anybody. There's no bank behind any of this. Where does it come from? It's the blessing of the Lord.
Amen.
It's the blessing of the Lord.
Amen.
And that same blessing is going to come upon
Amen.
You. You have to believe it. You have to believe it. We don't believe in borrowing, so we don't borrow. We do what we can do. If you can also just believe that, and you also decide that I won't borrow, I'll just do what I can do. I'll buy what I can buy. I'll buy what I can afford. Yeah. Some people borrow even for useless things. Why should you borrow a pair of shoes? And you even have shoes. How do I know that? Because you wore shoes to go and buy that one. Those are your shoes. You didn't walk barefooted to go and buy the ones you borrowed. Whatever you were wearing to get to that place, those are your shoes. That's what you have. Yeah. The fact that you have to take those off to wear the ones you borrowed means that you are wasteful. Because there were shoes on your feet already, and you took them off to put ones on that you have borrowed. Hallelujah. That's the lowest level, to borrow to buy clothes because they've been reduced. Hey! Don't you understand that somebody's job is to reduce the things? That's somebody's his job is to find what next can he reduce? So now that your life is patterned after anything that is reduced, that means you've tied yourself to somebody's job. You will forever be shopping because he will forever be reducing. It's his job. That is what one of our pastors, what he learned in school is pricing. Yes, he went to school to study the science of pricing. So his job is to work out prices. I mean, his whole job. And he has a wife and he has kids. So you bet he's not going to stop that now. He's not going to stop. His job is to make prices attractive to you. That is his job. And he does it for 8 hours a day. And you have fallen into his trap. So don't be surprised. So that's why sometimes, that's why you can't even throw the junk mail away. Because each one has a deal on it. How many know what I'm talking about? Each one has something that is reduced. All the way up to hamburgers. Yes. It's designed to catch you. Hallelujah. Amen. But if you just follow the principles that have brought us this far, we do what we can afford. Some of you have been around a long time. You know where we used to meet at that old place. Now, it's not because we didn't know expensive places. Yeah, maybe I tell you the secret now. It's not because we didn't know which places were expensive. We were trying to meet where we can afford. Yeah, and we're not trying to impress anybody.
At all.
If you don't like a church that is in a theater, oh, we are sorry. We apologize that our church is in a dark theater. But God is not ashamed of a theater. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, and as long as God doesn't mind coming there, we are cool. You see, yes. And we took our time, and when we could afford it, we came to this place. This place right here, it's not the most expensive or the best place that we can have. I am sure there are better places. No, you will soon see one day when we go to an even better place that there are always better places. We're not trying to impress anybody. Look, we're just trying to gather as believers for a couple of hours to serve God. We don't have to go into debt because of that. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes you can have a church in so much debt that the joy of the Lord itself cannot even rest on them. The joy of the Lord cannot rest on them. Because the pastor is very stressed. You know, and when people don't come to church, you know, pastors don't like it when they see empty seats in the church. But when you have an extra reason to be irritated by the empty seats, you know, then your sermon, as you are preaching, you are furious. And the members are just wondering, why is the pastor here? Take it easy, pastor. Why? You got us a small church we have joined. Why? It's like, lighten up, pastor. Why? It's like, really? Hey. Chill. Because it's not such a big deal. But you don't understand. Precious. Pressure. Do you see what I'm saying? Because the bank is coming on Monday. So on Tuesday, the pastor has borrowed money to buy a building, to buy chairs, and the members didn't come and sit on it. And if they would even have wired their offerings while they stayed at home, maybe the pastor would be okay. Yes. But Thank God for wisdom.
Amen.
We're blessed to have a pastor and a leader who is not trying to impress anyone. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm just saying that if you will use the same wisdom to guide yourself, because whatever principles make the jumbo jet fly are the same principles that make those little planes fly. Same thing. So if it can carry the church, it can carry you.
Amen.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Yes. If it can make the church prosperous, it will make you prosperous.
Amen.
If it can lift the church from a classroom and send it all around the world, then it will lift you from your little cubicle and your little apartment wherever you are staying and cause you to become significant. Yes. It can do. Same thing that made a church that started in an obscure place with a small room full of people, just a small room full of people, just a few students. And today the church is all over the world. I told you, one of our pastors told me he's been sent to Vietnam. Vietnam. He's going to start a church in Vietnam. Even for God to give us such a reach. Well, maybe it doesn't mean much to you. But for those of us who know where we are coming from, Vietnam is quite far away. You know, and it's a blessing to be able to go that far with the gospel, the same message. Hallelujah. You will be significant and you will be great in the name of Jesus. Then the last point, last one for today. How many have you got? Nine? All right, so let's give you one more, 10, so you can have 10. Amen? Exhortation, lifting, and promotion come from the blessing of the Lord. Exhortation, lifting, and promotion come from the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. Proverbs 11 and verse 11. Proverbs 11 and verse 11. Proverbs 11:11 says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Can you see that? It says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Exaltation comes from blessing. Hallelujah. Psalm 75 and verse 6. Psalms 75 and verse 6. It says, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Only one place is left. Do you know where the east is? Everybody point to the east. Do you know the east is? Yes, to your right, the east. And then the west is where? Right. And south. Okay. So now it says, promotion does not come from the east. Point to the east. Look over there. It says there's no promotion from there. Did you see that? Okay. Promotion does not come from the west. So point to the west. Everybody point to the west. Look over there. It says there's no promotion from there. Can you see that? Promotion does not come from the south. Where is the south? South is easy. No, south is down. Yeah. So where is the... Look down. Everybody look down. South. Down. It says there is no blessing from there. Okay. So only one place is left. Promotion comes from where? Up. So whatever is there. Do you understand? Whoever lives there. Whatever is up there. The Bible says that is the only place left for blessing. Hallelujah. For promotion comes from above. Look at verse 7. It says, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and what? Setteth up another. Wow. God puts down one and God setteth up another. This is a very serious scripture. What do you think? That God will promote you. God's blessing on your life will promote you. Hallelujah. Anything that has been working against your promotion today is removed. In the name of Jesus. Any curse that has been trailing behind you and following you, such that anything and any opportunity to be lifted up is always taken away from you. Today that curse is broken in the name of Jesus. It is broken in the name of Jesus. I said it is broken. You will no longer be crawling on the ground and struggling even for daily bread. Things that are ordinary, which have become special to you, will no longer become special. Because God's blessing is resting upon your life. It says the blessing of God will make you great. Amen. God's blessing will make you great. Amen. Expect to be great. Amen. Because of his blessing upon your life. It says God is the judge. Putteth down and setteth up another. If I were you, I'll try to please God. Because God can lift you up. When God lifts you up, no one can bring you down. But when a man is lifting you up, it just takes another man to bring you down. And a lot of people, you see sometimes some of these stars, the press hypes them up and says so much about them. Suddenly they become important because of the press. Then one day they offend the press. And the press starts to talk. And the next thing you know, someone who was a star is now no longer a star. Do you understand? Yeah. But when God sets you up, when God is the one behind your success, when God is the one behind your promotion, if God lifts you up, who can bring you down? Do you understand what I'm saying? When I was a kid, sometimes when you have something and you don't want a kid to be able to access it. So you see the little child with you for it, then you just lift it up. And that's it. Then they'll be trying to reach it. They just can't. Because where it is, you can't get there. What is keeping it there, you cannot overcome it. That is going to be your story. God himself will lift you up. And when God lifts you up, no human being can climb up and take down someone that God has set up. That God has set up. Instead of lobbying people and canvassing people and talking to people and trying to get up on the backs of people, rather, let God set you up. Let God promote you. Let God lift you up. Let God, please God, and let God set you up. Because when God lifts you up, no human being can bring you down. Amen. I'm telling you, no human being. There is no human being that can bring you down. Amen. Always remember the story of Joseph. Think about Joseph. Think about somebody who had all the things against him. And yet every place where they took Joseph, where the plan was to take him down, he gets there and he actually goes up. Do you see what I'm saying? They put him in a pit. Then immediately some traders came and the idea comes, take him out of the pit and sell him. Yeah. If those traders had not come by, he would have remained in the pit. But the thing is that God is working on his side. So when they put him down, God, some idea just comes to someone. You know what? Let's just bring this guy and sell him. So they bring him from down, back up, and they sell him. And when they sell him, they sold him into Egypt as a slave, and they think that it's over. And then the guys who are shopping for slaves just go around and they see all the guys and somehow they're interested in this one. Yeah. You will not understand it, but you'll be chosen.
Amen.
Even you cannot explain why you are the preferred one. Why are you the preferred one? You will not be able to explain it. But it is because his blessing is upon you. Hallelujah. His blessing is upon you. It says, God is the judge. He putteth down one and he setteth up another. God is going to set you up. God will set you up for prosperity. God will set you up for blessing. In the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Just stand to your feet and let us pray. Stand to your feet, everybody. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Everybody close your eyes and begin to pray to the Lord. And ask God and say, Lord, I want your blessing to be upon me. In the name of Jesus. I want your blessing to be upon me. I want to live my life under your covering and under your blessing. Because I realized, Lord, that I cannot make myself blessed. I cannot do anything for myself. Only you can bless me. That is why the blessing of the Lord makes great. Because God is in it. And it makes people great. You will be great because of the blessing of God upon you. In the name of Jesus. Pray for his blessing today. Just pray, everybody pray for his blessing. Pray for his blessing. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. The blessing of... He said, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. When the demons rise up in life, when the demons assemble together to destroy you, when the conspiracy is set up to bring you down and to destroy you, a voice will shout on your behalf. A voice will arise on your behalf and say, destroy it not. A blessing is in it. A blessing is in it. A blessing is in it. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, as we close the service this afternoon, and while every eye is closed, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you're this afternoon and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I feel so far from God. The Bible says our sins separate us from God. Our sins separate us from God and everything that God can bring to our lives, including his promotion. If God really is the source of promotion and exaltation, then it's not a good idea to be far from God. Today, God wants to bring you near. God wants that separation to be healed, and it starts with the forgiveness of your sins. The first blessing, the first source of blessing is the blessing of salvation. That your sins will be forgiven. That's the starting point. And this afternoon, that opportunity is available. And I want you to take the opportunity of this moment to give your life to Jesus. To say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and forgive my sins. Maybe you are praying, know in your heart that you have not been serious. You have not followed through with it. Today, God wants to help you. God wants to help you. God wants to receive you. God wants to bring you closer to himself. So if you're here this afternoon and you know in your heart that you want your sins to be forgiven, you want to be a child of God, you want to be a serious Christian, I want you, while every eye is closed, just to raise up your right hand and I will pray with you. Is there anybody here like that? Just, you want to give your life to Jesus today? I want to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that today? You want your sins to be forgiven? You want God to bring you nearer Himself? Just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody here today who wants to give your life to Jesus? You want to be sure that when you die, you will go to heaven and not go to hell, because Jesus is the Lord of your life. If there's anybody here like that, I would like to pray with you. Okay. Now I want us all to say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe it that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and forgive my sins. Say, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me. Oh, Jesus, I need you, Lord. Please come into my heart. Say, devil, you are not my master. I do not belong to you. My life is not for you. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. Say, come into my heart, Lord. I belong to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Go ahead and put your hands together with the Lord. Amen. Now, before we close today, I want us to come to the Lord's table. Amen. The Bible calls the communion the cup of blessing. Hallelujah. It's the cup of blessing. Everybody say, the cup of blessing. Say, the cup of blessing is a cup of blessing. It's not a cup of poison. It's not a cup of drink and bread. It is a cup of blessing. Hallelujah. And today, as you partake of the communion, you are introducing a blessing into your life. Hallelujah. Whatever curses have followed you into church today, they are removed today by the cup of blessing. I said they are removed today by the cup of blessing. Hallelujah. You will never again be the same because of the communion. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Everybody close your eyes. Father, we lift up the bread and the wine before you. We ask, O God, that you redeem the elements, transform them into what they are supposed to be. The body of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, through which we have salvation, we have healing, we have deliverance, we have the blessing of God. And all these 9-10 things that we studied about today, that blessing, Lord, the things that blessings bring into our lives, multiplication, riches, and all these things that blessing brings, may we begin to experience them in the name of Jesus. Let poverty die in our midst in the name of Jesus. Those who lack basic things, those who are forced into situations where they have to borrow, oh God, in the name of Jesus, deliver them. Let the cup of blessing deliver them. Let this cup of blessing lift them out of their situations. Let it lift people out of sicknesses. Even diseases that are now forming in their bodies, oh God. Diseases they are yet to hear about and know about. In the name of Jesus, let those diseases perish. In the name of Jesus. I pray for open doors as your people partake of the cup of blessing. Let this cup of blessing bring jobs. Let it bring promotion. Let it bring cars. Let it bring wives. Let it bring husbands. Let it bring babies. In the name of Jesus, let the cup of blessing bring jobs to your people. Let it bring good friends and relationships to your people. Let it bring healing. Let it mend broken hearts. Because it's a cup of blessing. So anything that will be a blessing to your people today, let this cup break in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're just passing this round. Everybody, just take one and just bring one for everybody very quickly. Amen. Brothers, sisters, we are and our lives have just begun. In the spirit we are young and will live forever. Oh, sons of God, oh, hear His holy word. Gather round the table of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to take the bread.
Wow.
There's a lot of power in this. There's a lot of life in this. Hallelujah. Remember, where there's life, there's a blessing. Amen. He said, choose life. Because when you choose life, you choose a blessing. Amen. And when you choose a blessing, you choose life, it means you don't have what you didn't choose, which is the curse and which is the death. Hallelujah. So this is a amen. Say with me, the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. You may eat the bread. Open the drink. Hallelujah. if this was a cup of poison, would you not expect it to affect you? Would you not expect, Elam, would you not expect that if this was a cup of poison, would you not expect this to change something from the moment you swallow it? Right. So if this is a cup of blessing, according to the scriptures, should you not expect that from the moment you swallow this, something should begin to change? Does it make sense, Amma? From the moment this enters your life, do you see what I'm saying? Imagine if this was some poison, some chemical, or some cyanide, or some poison, or something like that. From the moment you swallowed it, you would expect that something will happen. I want you to transfer that same expectation. This is a cup of blessing. The Bible says it's a cup. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. It says this is a cup of blessing. The cup of blessing. The cup of blessing. Where is that scripture? Are you bringing it? It says the cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Can you see that? It's the cup of what? Which we bless. The one we prayed over. The cup of blessing. Is it not the communion? That means, is it interaction with the blood of Christ? That is what it is. Amen. So this is a cup of blessing. That is why you need to do this often. Amen. Do it often. Do it every day. Have communion on your own. Just have communion. Anytime the thought occurs to you, have communion. When you have difficulty, have communion. When you have challenges, you are not sure what to do. You're not sure what decision to take. Introduce a cup of blessing into your life, and it will change something. Hallelujah. Say with me, the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus Christ. Say it again. Say the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me drink. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Oh, how I love that old cross where the dear rest and best for a world of love. Last thing before you go this afternoon, hold someone's hand and I want you to pray for that person. I want you to pray against curses in the person's life. Pray against frustration, anything that is in their lives that is preventing the blessing of God to shine through. Pray that the blessing of God will overcome any curse in that life. In the name of Jesus, the blessing of God will overcome any destruction in their lives. The blessing of God will overcome every struggle in the name of Jesus Christ. The blessing of God will overcome every difficulty, sicknesses and diseases, and anything, any prince of of the enemy in their lives in the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Makatola Moshatari Alababaha. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So Father, we thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.